Please turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians and chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I read verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God willing, I aim to cover verse 16 up to verse 21 in this chapter. And my title is The Works of the Flesh. This is one part of the study of these last verses in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh, and God willing, the next Bible study will be the fruit of the Spirit, the contrast. But we look tonight at the works of the flesh. We start there, verse 16. This I say. You see the verse or the section comes with the power of the apostle. There is great apostolic power in the verse. This I say. And as you know, Paul always throughout from his conversion, he speaks to us under inspiration. My dear friends, I don't know if we all appreciate that. From his conversion, whatever Paul has said in the Word of God is to be imitated. And you do it, you mature, you do it, you are in full obedience with the principles of the Word of God. So the verse or the section comes again with great apostolic power and authority. But before we look at the verses, it is important to remind ourselves, verse 15, look at verse 15, because this is the contrast Paul is building. But instead of biting one another, instead of consuming one another, instead of devouring one another, look at verse 26 of the same chapter. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Instead of that, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. You see the contrast? Paul is drawing that great contrast for us. Oh, my dear friends, the flesh, what is the flesh? The flesh is that indwelling sin. We are all born in the flesh. And the believer, from cover to cover in the Bible, we read that a believer has three main enemies. Yeah, we have many of them, but there are three main ones. The world. We have to separate ourselves from the world. The second is Satan, the devil. James chapter 5 tells us, or chapter 4, resist the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from thee. And then the flesh. The flesh is your indwelling sin, your nature. The flesh is the inner enemy, the enemy within. Oh, many times we look outside of ourselves, but really the enemy is within. He's not far. He's in me. He's in you. And this is why it is so important to look at these verses as we proceed. So in that contrast, Paul is really building for us. The contrast is between the monstrosity of the work of the flesh and the beauty, the fruitfulness of the Spirit. This is what this section is really all about. And in verse 17, look at verse 17. We are reminded, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. We are reminded, my dear brothers and sisters, that every believer, whoever you are, no matter how old you are, if you have been a Christian for a month, for 10 years, for 50 years, there is a war, there is a conflict. There is an intensity of war within you. Intensity. It is so intense, and no one is immune. No one can stand up and say, I am there. I'm complete. I have got it all. We are in the same boat. No one is immune when it comes to that strong internal tension that is within us. My dear friends, before really I develop more of the verses, it is important to remind ourselves that the conflict between Adam, the old man within you and me, and Christ, the new man in us, is permanent. And that conflict, really, you shouldn't be surprised. It is indeed the normal Christian life, the normal Christian life, that there is a conflict within me. I believe, Lord, help me in my unbelief. That is really a bit of our lot in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The absence of that conflict should really make you to be worried, actually. So the conflict between Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ in the believer, it is a combat with the bitter end. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. It is until the grave, when you are put in the grave, then the combat is finished, or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back into this world to take us with him. Oh, many times, I speak on your behalf, if you don't mind, many times, every believer says to himself, I am a Christian. I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I repented from my sins. But why this paradox in my life? I want to do well. I want to obey the Lord. I want to follow him. I want to accomplish his commandments in my life. But like Paul, if you do not agree with this, you better read Romans chapter 7 later. Paul is crying out, wretched man that I am. And the combat is within there. But remember, because you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have repented from your sins, you are a saint. That's one. But being a saint comes also with something. Always a repenting sinner. Always a repenting sinner to abound more and more in holiness. That is the calling of each one of us. And you neglect that battle within you, you will be defeated. So I have three simple headings looking at these verses tonight. The first one is our course, our race, our walk. The second, we want to look at that conflict. I will dwell more on that conflict as we proceed. And the third heading is to look at the consequences. If we do not run the race, if we do not walk by the Spirit, and if we do not fight the fight against sin, look at the consequences, and that is mentioned for us in verse 21. We shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What a loss. What a loss. Not to be accepted, not to enter into the kingdom of the living God. But let's go step by step looking at these three headings. So the first one is our course or our race. Paul says, walk. Do you see it is in the present tense? It is also a command. My dear friends, God has no suggestions. We make suggestions, but God has obligations. He has imperatives. We must do these things. Walk. Walk by the Spirit. And actually, if you compare verse 16 and verse 25, you also find the word walk in verse 25. Though in English, it is the same word, but in the Greek text, the two words are different. I will explain it in the simplest way. The first walk in verse 16 is really a word that encompasses every department, every area of our Christian life. So walk in every department of your Christian life. It is as if we are engaged in a battle. As we advance in the course of the battle, we are to run the battle or to run the race according to the principles, according to the commandments, according to the rules of the Word of God. And those rules are set before us in the Word of God. You cannot make up your mind and say, oh, I have decided I will walk this way, to the neglect of the Word of God. So that first walk is to walk according to the rules of the Word of God, and those rules are set for us in the Word of God. But the second walk, in verse 25, it is really a soldiering term, a military term, if you prefer. And it means to be on the beam. To be on the beam. Or if you prefer, the second word in verse 25 means to keep up with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to salvation. But we walk with him in love, but also ready immediately, instantly to obey him. That is the meaning of that second word, to walk by the Spirit. And if you are led by the Spirit, then walk also by the Spirit. Be on the beam, keep up with the Holy Spirit, and obey to the Lord Jesus Christ at his instant bidding. The Lord has said it. Oh, sometime you heard me, I'm sure, saying this. When it is in the Word of God, I don't need to pray about it. I don't need to think about it. What should I do? I obey. That is really how each one of us should look at the Word of God. So walk. It is a permanent walk. It is a continuous walk. But it is also a walk of obedience. Oh, if you allow me just to illustrate that for you in a minute. Look, the word walk, I believe, is the most repeated imagery of the Christian life from the book of Genesis. How is Enoch described for us? How is Noah described for us? How is Abraham described for us? How is David described for us? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. David walked with God. And this is spread for us. That is the best image. The Christian life is a walking life. It means there is a motion. It means there is a movement. It means there is a spiritual advance. When you become stagnant in your Christian life, oh, you should be worried. You should be worried. And can I give you some examples of that walk given to us in the New Testament? We are told, at least once or twice, to walk as he walked. We walk as the Lord Jesus Christ walked. How can I walk like my pure Savior? Oh, again, we have the rules, the commands, the principles, and the practices given to us in the Word of God. We walk as the Lord Jesus Christ walked. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we walk in the light because God is light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith. Ephesians 5, we walk in love. We are told in Ephesians 5 again, we walk in wisdom. Oh, it's still in Ephesians 5, we are told to walk as children of light. So you see, there is no better picture than to speak about the Christian life as a walking pace. We move on. We are moving forward, spiritual advance. But you see, it says walk. It doesn't say stand. It doesn't say sit. You are walking. It is motion. And it doesn't say also feel. You know, I'm sure you don't need me to remind you this. We are living in a world of feelings, feelings. I feel like it's all about what I feel. But it's not about feeling. It's about obedience. I walk with the Lord. I must tell you the second heading. Really, we can spend more time there. But the first thing in our course, we are to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk according to the principles and the practices given to us in the Word of God. Look at verse 17 there, where the conflict now has begun. The conflict has begun. The flesh fights against the Spirit. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. Oh, my dear friends, the flesh is a powerful magnet. It is a powerful magnet. How many times you want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, but the body is saying something else than what the Word of God says? The flesh is so resilient. It is resilient. And that is why we have to be very careful in our Christian walk. And sometimes, please, I'm saying this to myself, everything is easier except when it comes to my Christian duties. Oh, when it's time to pray, when it's time to read the Word, when it's time to do my personal witness, these things become as if they were a ton upon my shoulders. But doing some banal things, I'm hasteful to do them. I'm speaking on behalf of each one of us. So that tells you the power of the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the body is heavy. Oh, walking by the spirit means to walk by the power of the spirit, to avoid that conflict. We avoid the conflict within us, or we become overcomers. The conflict will be permanent and continuous, but we fight it by walking by the Spirit. Oh, my dear friends, walking by the Spirit means to walk by the power of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit is revealed to us in the Word of God. Not by dreams, not by visions, not by some hallucinations. We hear voices and so on, not as anything as that, but by the Word of God. This is how we walk, by the power of the living God. We walk by the Spirit, not by intuition. And this is why false pietism. You know, there is false pietism. You hear people saying, oh, the Spirit told me. What did the Spirit told you? Or the Spirit laid this and that on my heart. How did the Spirit lay that on your heart? Walking by the Spirit is walking by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and what we hear from the Word of Jesus Christ. Dead to sin, we live for Christ. Look at verse 18. I must really go quickly because we have still a lot to cover. If ye be led by the Spirit, we can retranslate it really to make it easier. Since you are led by the Spirit, because you are led by the Spirit, and we need to make an application here. My brothers and sisters, the Spirit will lead. Every believer has the Spirit. Every believer is led by the Spirit. But you do the effort. The Holy Spirit is not a magician. He will not do the effort for you. I cooperate. I put my hands on, and the Holy Spirit helps me. That is the Christian life. And how does the Holy Spirit help me? My cooperation now comes as I apply the means of grace. I hope everyone knows what are the means of grace. Prayer, meditating the Word of God, attending services, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, self-denial, mortifying the flesh, redeeming the time, living a holy life. All these things will make you to walk by the Spirit. You are cooperating. The let God, let go doesn't work. It doesn't work. I cooperate. And the Holy Spirit comes and help me in my Christian life. And because I walk with the Spirit, I love the law of God. Verse 18, you see in verse 18, it says we love the law of the Lord, not for salvation. Nothing can save us. It is only the cross of Calvary that can save a sinner. The work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Nothing else. Your obedience is only, you obey the Lord because you love the Lord, not for salvation, but because I'm saved, I love the Ten Commandments. Because I'm saved, I love every commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in 1 John chapter 5 that his commandments are not grievous. He said, take my yoke, it is light. Learn of me and you shall find peace for your soul. So I cooperate and the Holy Spirit will help me in my Christian life. My dear friends, it is sanctification by the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We are sanctified, set apart, made holy by the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of our sanctification. The Father is also the agent of our sanctification. Christ is the agent of our sanctification. The Trinity, the Godhead, is working to make you to be blameless, to be holy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. But now I must come to verse 19. Really, that is the heart of our study tonight. And verse 19 explains verse 16. If you go back to verse 16, it reads, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. The works, the lusts, the deeds of the flesh are manifest. They are evident. They are obvious. They are glaring. They are in us and all over around us. You don't need anyone really to tell you about them because they are so evident. Oh, my dear friends, these are the works of the flesh. And this horrible list intends more than you can read. Some people, there are 17 or 18 of them. We will come to them in a moment. 17 or 18 of those vices that are listed there, some people have grouped them or divided them in four groups. We don't need to do that, but it is a possibility. We can explain that another time because of time's sake. But remember this horrible list. The world justifies it. For the word adultery is what? It's just an affair. And when you speak about it, the preacher doesn't understand what is love. That's how the world functions. But guess what? God hates them. And every one of the list I'm going to give in a moment grieves the Holy Spirit. These vices have torn apart lives, families, marriages, churches. It is not an exaggeration to say even nations. So, may I detain you more tonight by presenting to you the massive production of this world. It doesn't come from a special factory, but it comes from your heart and my heart. So here are 17 or 18 vices presented for us by Paul in the text we are looking at. Look at them. They are listed for us in verse 19 there. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? The massive production of our world today. The first one is adultery. The Greek word there, we know it in English. That's why I'm mentioning it. It's the word porneia. This goes without really an explanation. But it is unlawful, illicit, premarital commitment or relations, same gender relationship, prostitution, immorality, the breaking of vows. Oh, husbands, wives, when things are going wrong, this is my pleading all the time. Please remember your vows. It is a covenant. A deep covenant. When you remember that, I believe you will fall flat before the Lord because you said those things before God and before the church of Jesus Christ. But adultery is breaking the vows, and God hates it. The second one is fornication. These are impurities in the mind, fantasizing. You know, some people, their mind is so intelligent, so genius in their mind. They can even closing their eyes, they can be vagabond around the world. That is fornication. Flee for your life. The third one is uncleanness, indecency, nudism, voyeurism, flippancy, impudicity, flirting, deviances, promiscuity, all these things are really in that word uncleanness. Uncleanness is when the body becomes everything, the cult of the body, the worship of the body. Look at me, generation. And the fourth one, lasciviousness. This is shame. Each one could be a whole study. I'm just saying a word on each one of them before we close. Lasciviousness, that is shameless. The lack of control of the body. Indiscipline, that is another form of lasciviousness. But lasciviousness also is when a person cannot be morally restrained, lash out like an animal. The fifth one, idolatry. Do you know covetousness in the Bible is listed as idolatry? Calvin said, our hearts are factories of idols. Idolatry, any substitute to God. The sixth one is witchcraft, which really the word witchcraft, their sorcery, gave us the English word pharmacy or pharmaceutical. That's the meaning. But here, the word here is the bad meds. The bad medicine, drugs, narcotics. This is really the word to explain witchcraft. Sorcery goes with idolatry and superstitions. Heavy beats in your ears. That's another drug, really. It is another drug. The beat is dull in the mind. The person is not thinking anymore. Heavy decibels in the head. Number seven. Hatred, unloving, hostile, defying attitude. Number eight, variance, seeking to rule other people. Variance is to try to make everyone right. You know, there are people like that. They go around the world trying to make self-righteousness. That is the picture behind. Number eight, variance, seeking, as I said, to rule other people's emulations. This is jealousies, resentment, unfriendly feelings. Number 10, wrath, which is explosion, outburst of anger. Oh, my dear friends, can I wake you up just for a minute here? How could you be a Christian while you have anger every day in your heart? How could you be shouting at your children, shouting at other people? Oh, it's just impossible. You know, behind anger, there is pride, there is selfishness, and there is self-righteousness. How do you fight anger? There is no solution. The only solution is prayer. You go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help me. Why should I lose my temper? And anger borders with insanity. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did Moses was stopped from entering into the promised land? Why are we angry? There is no reason most of time. And it is insane because most of time we are angry against the people we love the most. So my dear friends, we are to avoid anger, that outburst of wrath. Shouting at other people, screaming at your family. Number 11, strife, conflict, contention, self-seeking, selfish ambitions. Number 12, seditions, dissensions, and divisions. Number 13, heresies or party spirit, more than really heretical teaching. I know better. I have my own thoughts about this and that. And we live in a self-opinionated world. That is the meaning, really, of the word heresies here. And that some pastors can fall into that because they think they are always right. The way they think, the way they speak is always right. And God forbid, no believer should fall into that. Number 14, envyings. For the world, this is respectable. To envy other people. Why does he have that position and not me? Why does he have that and not me? This is how the world functions, really. Why does he have more friends than me? It is a way of being jealous against other people. And number 15, murders, thou shalt not kill. Life is sacred. You know, we kill other people by condescending them. We kill other people by killing their reputation. We kill other people by gossiping behind them. We kill other people by stabbing at their back. It is a murder. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Even if you say to your brother, Reka, which means what? Fool. You have killed him. And number 16, drunkenness. I believe in my small mind, drunkenness is the drug number one today. I don't have time to turn you there, but please later, if you want to know the dangers of drunkenness, read Proverbs 23, verse 25 to the end. It's all there to help you, to edify you, and to make you to flee it like the plague. And number 17, revelings, to lash out, to be banal, to enjoy partying. And this is so popular, especially in our nation here, to be banal. Wild parties. And in verse 19 there, or verse 20, Paul says, and such like. But this is just a sample, by the way. It is just a sample. Our wickedness, our sinfulness is much, much more than what we have listed now. Oh, my brothers and sisters, before I close, can you just see what God has saved you from? This is amazing. God has saved me from all these things. This is why I read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 20. Please read it again to corroborate all what is happening here. And every one of these sins require deep repentance and forsaking, stabbing them, nip it in the bud, and kill it dead as a doornail. Finish with it. And the conflict, I know, will still continue. But can we avoid the fiasco as I close? Can we avoid the defeat? Oh, yes, we can avoid it. I was stricken or struck by what Pastor said in the prayer meeting on Monday, if you remember. He said to us, pray for holiness. We can avoid the fiasco. How? By taking the Christian life seriously. By mortifying the flesh. By walking by the Spirit. You remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12? Avoid fleshful lusts, for they war against the soul. In Romans 13, verse 14, Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. And my dear brothers and sisters, Satan will always tempt you and entice you with the sins you struggled with when you were unconverted. You are struggling with this sin or that sin before your conversion. Watch out. Resist the devil. And I close with verse 21. Look at the consequences. If we do not walk by the Spirit, if we do not fight the good fight, Paul says in verse 21, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My dear friends, the cost is too high. The cost is too high. You will not be with the Lord. And these things will reveal actually that you are not a Christian at all. But stick there in verse 21 again. I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, Paul forewarns us that they which do, the word do there gave us in English the word practice. Those who practice the seven things listed here, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Habitual actions. Is this my daily walk? Is this what I do daily? Is this what I plan daily? Is this what I plan to do in cold blood? You remember what Christ said in John chapter 3? You must be born again. Otherwise, you shall not see, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So the new birth makes us to flee from every one of these things. These things will show to all that the person is not a believer at all if he practices them. That is why entering into the kingdom of God is not a matter of befriending sin, but it is warring against sin, running away from sin. Oh, as I said, break the cycle. Obedience brings filling of the Spirit. Obedience brings a blessing of the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit means I'm moving forward. I'm growing spiritually. Walking by the Spirit means I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading with the world, with men and women, we beseech you, for Christ's sake, be reconciled with God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, never say to yourself, no believer should ever say to himself, how close should be to sin? Some people ask us that question. Never say, how close should I be? No, far, as far as possible. In our prayers, Calvin said, when you pray, we ought to pray like this. Let not sin reign. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its power. Oh Lord, we have all things we need. We have everything to live a life that is pleasing unto our God. Visit us, Lord. Oh Lord, uphold each one of us. Equip us again and help us in fighting our greatest enemy, the enemy of our souls. Be merciful to each one of us in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.